Morning, church. It's good to see you all connected here on this Uber conference line once again. Today is June 14th. You may or may not be aware of it, but today, June 14th is celebrated every year as Flag Day. It's a day set aside to show respect to our flag and what it represents. Interestingly, it is also our president's birthday today. I believe he's turning 74. Flag Day commemorates the adoption of our United States flag on June 14th, 1777 by the Second Continental Congress. Many will display our country's red, white, and blue on this day. Larry said he displays it every day. They'll display the flags at public buildings. People will display them at their homes, all over. We'll see that flag. The reason that a flag was originally created to represent our nation, which first was only 13 colonies, was because those colonies at the time were fighting for our country's freedom from Great Britain. Back then, there were many different flags representing the colonies, many having their own flag, but it was felt that one flag was needed to unite the colonies into one to represent our nation as we fought for our independence from Great Britain. The design of the original flag was given to Betsy Ross by George Washington, who was head of our Continental Army at the time. The design had 13 stripes and 13 stars. That number, 13, represented the number of colonies that we had then. The stars were arranged in a circle to indicate that no colony was above the other. They were all equal. There was one star for each colony or state. Many refer to that flag as the Betsy Ross flag. And then, as states were added to the Union, the flag's design needed to be changed with each new addition. Each addition required a new star to be added. So our flag now displays the 13 stripes for the original 13 colonies and 50 stars for the number of states that we have. The U.S. flag has a rich history and is full of symbolism. Our nation's flag is a symbol of courage, freedom, unity, patriotism, innocence, valor, perseverance, justice, purity, and bravery. The red stripes were chosen to represent courage and valor and hardiness, bravery. The white stripes represented innocence and purity. We were a new nation just being born. The blue shield, the blue field with the 50 stars, that represents justice and perseverance. And just as the constellations of stars in our night sky, that they stand forever, those stars on our flag represent perseverance for our country to stand forever. The displaying of our flag shows patriotism and love for our country. So Larry, I'm glad that you've got you got our flag flying at your home. Our flag shows respect for our country and it identifies our country. Our flag represents freedom from Great Britain and freedom to govern ourselves as a nation and unity to stand together to preserve it. These are the reasons that our flag flies at our government locations national monuments, parks, at our school campuses, places of business, and even on our personal properties. And woven into every fiber of our flag is the rich Christian heritage that we have here in the birth of this nation. No matter how they try to rewrite our history books and, you know, take things out, rename things, the fact still remains that our country was founded on Christian values and principles. They may totally remove any of our Christian heritage from our history books, the national monuments, or whatever they want to pull down, but it doesn't change the facts. This country was established on Christian principles and values. You know, you might be wondering, why is Pastor Rhonda emphasizing Flag Day when for several weeks we've been seeing anarchy in our streets, looting, burning of buildings, police precincts, and churches, cars being burned? And within the last several days, we've seen these violent rioters vandalize national monuments, tear down and deface historic, you know, statues of individuals who had a part to play in our history and establishment of our country. Christopher Columbus, war memorials. It's not just Confederate statues that are being torn down. That they want to destroy our history. And now we've seen militant Marxist groups wanting to seize control of cities with a certain amount of success, and others not so much success. Well, the reason that I want to remind you that it is Flag Day is because of the anarchy we've seen in our streets, because of all the looting, because of the burning that we've been seeing in our cities, because of the disrespect that we've been seeing to our police force, which I believe the vast majority are reasonable, responsible, good, dedicated police officers who stand for justice and risk their lives to protect us. And because of the disrespect that we have seen towards our national monuments and historical monuments and the laws of our land, I want to remind you that our flag, it still stands for freedom. That, you know, these were men and women who died to fight for the freedoms that we have in our country. People who gave the ultimate sacrifice for us to even have a country. Have we done everything right? Absolutely not. We're still learning. We're still seeing some fight between good and evil within our borders. Yet God has blessed us. I would call all those who died for our country, I would call them true patriots. A patriot is someone who loves and supports his country. Just a few years ago, within the last 2 or 3 years, I'd say, Gary and I spent some time in Philadelphia visiting many of the historical sites. We saw the place where the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution was written. We saw where the Liberty Bell stands. And we visited the Constitution Center, the museum for our Constitution. You know, we're very fortunate to live so close to where our history began. While we were there, I walked through the gift shop there at the Constitution Center. And I picked up a book, and the title of the book interested me. The book is called "In God We Still Trust." That title drew my attention. In God We Still trust. The book is filled with a lot of historical information and inspiration of how the Bible is woven into the very fabric of our nation's past and present. And on one of the pages, the author, his name is Dr. Richard Lee. He has the original definition of the word patriotism from Noah Webster. You might recognize that name from Webster's Dictionary. He's the author. He compiled the dictionary. And he printed a dictionary in 1828. It's called An American Dictionary of the English Language. By the way, Noah Webster was a Christian and a patriot. He lived during the time of our Revolutionary War, and he spent many years of his life compiling the information to be able to produce that dictionary. Most, if not all of us, have used his dictionary at some point as an authoritative guide on word definition and usage in America. So this was the definition of patriotism. And that was back in 1828. I'll give that to you. It says, patriotism is love of one's country, the passion which aims to serve one's country, either in defending it from invasion or protecting its rights and maintaining its laws and institutions in vigor and purity. It said, patriotism is the characteristic of a good citizen, the noblest passion that animates a man in the character of a citizen. That's how Noah Webster defined patriotism. And then the author of that book that I purchased, In God We Still Trust, he goes on to expound on Webster's definition of patriotism. And he says this, he says, Webster's original definition includes a love for country, protection of the rights of country, maintenance of the laws and institutions of country, preservation of religion and morality in public and private life, and puts the needs of the country above personal and partisan desires, as well as above the favor of foreign nations. As I read over that, I thought, wow, you know, that is sure not what I'm seeing going on throughout our country as we see the anarchy, the looting, the burning, the destruction of our national monuments, the lawlessness and the violence that has escalated to actual takeovers of, some of our cities. You know, mainly I'm talking about Seattle right now. Peaceful freedom of speech is protected by our Constitution. Lawlessness is not. Disorder, anarchy, and confusion are not from God. And they have not been written into our Constitution. When I think of true patriots, you know, of those who truly love our country, that are dedicated to preserving it, you know, those who maintain and honor the laws of our land and institutions that we have in place, that word character jumps out at me from Mr. Webster's definition of a patriot. He said this, he said, patriotism is the characteristic of a good citizen, the noblest passion that animates a man in the character of a citizen. The character of a person reveals who that person really is, you know, how they conduct themselves. Their character reveals what they stand for, you know, and what they honor. A person's character reveals the attributes or features that make up and distinguish or identify an individual. And to take another definition of character from Mr. Webster's dictionary, he says that character is moral excellence and firmness. Moral excellence and firmness. You know, one of the things that attracted me to my husband was his character. He has a character of moral excellence and steadfastness. So character is important. Recently, over these services that we've been having remotely from our homes due to, you know, COVID-19, we've been looking at several characters in the Bible that were faced with very challenging situations to see how they faced them and how God intervened. What I specifically want to focus on today is why God responded to each of them. What is it about them that drew God's attention and favor? The last one that we looked at, if you remember, was Daniel. God revealed Daniel's character to us in Daniel 6:3. Daniel 6:3 said this. We looked at it, but I want to read it to bring out something important today. We're talking about character. And so then this Daniel distinguished himself. This is Daniel 6:3. Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Not only did God see the character, that excellent spirit in Daniel, but the king also noticed something about him too. The scripture says that Daniel had an excellent spirit in him. You know, that's not talking about a born again spirit in Daniel because, you know, since Jesus, you know, hadn't gone to the cross yet, it's talking about a preeminent, an outstanding, exceedingly excellent mind or attitude. He had an excellent spirit toward God. Daniel's mind was focused on God, and his character revealed that. Daniel stood out above the rest of the governors. He was distinguished above the rest, and the king took notice of it. And he wanted to set him above all the other governors and satraps and the whole kingdom. You know, it is okay for us to talk about government and politics in the pulpit, because God talks about government and politics all throughout the Bible. God ordained government. And he tells us in his word the kind of individuals that we're to place into government leadership positions. If you look at Exodus 18:21, God reveals through Moses' father-in-law the type of people that are to be placed in positions of leadership to govern people. Jethro instructs Moses in Exodus 18:21. He says, "You shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens." God says our leaders are to be, they're to be God-fearing, trustworthy, honest, you know, good moral character, able to make just judgments. Daniel was a man who feared God, the God of the universe, the God of all creation. Daniel was truthful. He was trustworthy. He had godly wisdom. God blessed him with wisdom above those other governors. his character stood out and above the other governors and the satraps. Make note here that the other governors were not godly. They were deceptive. They were deceitful. They were jealous of Daniel, and they plotted evil against him. We read about that in Daniel chapter 6 2 weeks ago when we studied Daniel. You can read it again on your own, Daniel chapter 6. I don't know about you, but this whole scenario and character of each of our own governors and mayors and leaders, all this that we're seeing can be very much tied to what Daniel was seeing in his day. It could be very easily talking about the situation that we're currently involved in. Daniel had a deep state situation going on back then, as I believe we do today. When two or more conspire to do evil and go against the law. The only difference is that when that deep state was found out and identified back then, the judgment, the verdict was instant death. And not only, if you remember, not only for the governors, but also for their wives and children. They all got thrown to those lions. The same lions that God's angel shut the mouths to when Daniel was placed into that lion's den. That revealed the judgment of God. God didn't have his angels shut the lion's mouths for the governors who were against him. A very valuable lesson to be learned right there. Those governors were anti-God, yet they had been placed in positions of leadership. I believe we would do well to discern who we have in positions of leadership, who are for God, and who are against God. And just because someone says they go to church doesn't mean that they fear and obey God. We need to check out their character. Their character reveals who they really are. That's where we need to exercise our freedom to vote and to vote in godly men and women and remove those who are anti-God, those who are dishonest, not trustworthy, those who are deceptive and plot evil plans. And as I mentioned last week, if you're only listening to the major media, you aren't hearing all the truth. We need reliable sources of information to know what is going on in our government. And then Daniel said, in Daniel 6:28, it said that Daniel prospered. God desires to see us prosper, but he needs a willing, obedient spirit to work with. The Bible says that God desires that we prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." God saw that Daniel's heart was loyal and devoted to him, that Daniel had an excellent spirit. And so Daniel prospered. I would say that Daniel was a true patriot for God's kingdom. And then during these series, we also looked at Joshua and Caleb a few weeks ago. These men had a similar godly character to Daniel. They were God-fearing men, loyal to God alone. They were obedient to God. They were trustworthy. God led them, and he prospered them. And the scripture in Numbers 14:24, God says this. He says, "But my servant Caleb because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." So God was referring in that scripture to the time when Caleb and Joshua were among the 12 spies that were sent out into the promised land to check it out. They went to see who lived there, how fortified the cities were or weren't. They went to check out the land to see if it was good for farming. And they brought back huge clusters of grapes. Caleb and Joshua came back with a good report. They said that they could take the land that God was showing them. They said because God was with them. And God told them to do it. So what was so different about Caleb and Joshua? The difference was that the other 10 spies were fearful. They didn't trust God. They said, "No, we can't do that." An excellent spirit, a different spirit, is one who serves God. They know who God is. It's one who follows God fully and submits to him. They humble themselves before God and they follow his agenda, not theirs. It's one who is obedient to God and trusts him. And they have such boldness because they know who he is. And by knowing who God is, they know who they are. So God prospered Caleb and Joshua. They both entered the promised land as God had promised to them. And they were the only ones from that first generation of Israelites who were able to do that. The rest died off in the wilderness during those 40 years there. Caleb and Joshua were true patriots for God's kingdom. We had also looked at David earlier during this series, during this COVID. We had looked at each of these Bible characters as we were focusing on people in the scriptures who faced, you know, tough, challenging situations and how they handled them and how God intervened for them. They weren't dealing with COVID-19. But they were faced with other tough situations. David had a similar, excellent spirit to each of those that we looked at. In Acts 13:22, God said this about David. He said, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do my will." That's the kind of character that God was looking for. So there again, we see that excellent, different spirit. A man after the heart of God, submitted to God and willing to do whatever God asks him to do. You know, there was a historian, a Jewish historian by the name of Josephus, and he praised David in his writing, saying this. He said, "This man," speaking of David, "this man was of excellent character." David, King David, was of excellent character. What he meant by that was that David's heart, his attitude, his mind towards God was excellent. It didn't mean that David was perfect. And it didn't mean that he didn't make any mistakes, but that he was willing to follow God and do whatever God wanted him to do. He had a heart after God. David was a true patriot for the kingdom of God, and God responded favorably to David. And I'd like to look briefly at three more who had hearts sold out to God, who had an excellent spirit, an excellent attitude toward God. I mentioned them only briefly before when we looked at Daniel, but today I'd like to look at Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego today. So you can turn into your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. If you have your Bibles available, just turn to Daniel chapter 3. As Daniel chapter 3 opens up, we see King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he had captured Jerusalem and destroyed the temple and carried the people of Judah into captivity into Babylon. We see the king in Daniel chapter 3 making an image of gold and setting it up for all to bow down and worship this gold image whenever the sound of music was played. In Babylon, they worship pagan gods and idols. And so in verse six of chapter 3, it says, "And whoever does not fall down and worship this statue, this golden image, shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were among the Jewish boys that were carried away years earlier into Babylon. They had Jewish names, Hebrew names at the time, but they were changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But they still served God. They were selected to be indoctrinated into Babylonian ways. And they were eventually placed into positions of leadership in the Babylonian government. In chapter 3, this would be their first major challenge of their devotion and allegiance to God since their promotion into those leadership positions. So the king demanded that everyone must worship his golden image or be thrown into a fiery furnace. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to be coerced or threatened to disobey God and worship an idol, no matter what the punishment would be. Their mind was set on God. And they responded to the king in verse 16. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, starting there. It says, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter.'" In other words, their mind was made up. Verse 17, "If that is the case," if we would have to be cast into a burning fiery furnace for not bowing down to that statue, "our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." That is an excellent spirit. That is their devotion and their obedience to God. Their character and loyalty is revealed in their statements. And of course, you all know the rest of the story there in chapter 3. The king is furious. He heats the furnace up 7 times more than it is normally. He tells the strong men in his army to tie up these 3 guys and throw them in the furnace. And so the strong army men, they're actually killed in the process. They're by the fire because it was so hot. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not hurt. Only the ropes that bound them were burnt off. And when the king peeked in to see what happened to them, he said he saw 4 people walking around in that furnace, not 3. He said the 4th man looked like the Son of God. That's in verse 25. And then when the king saw the result, when they saw what God had done for these three Hebrew boys, the king makes a decree that no one could speak against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or they would be cut into pieces and their homes burned. And then in verse 30, The king promotes those three men to higher positions. An excellent spirit or attitude towards God will attract the will and the goodness of God. Kind of like a lightning, you know, lightning is attracted to a certain spot on the earth. It will draw God's favor to you. God searches for the heart that is turned toward him. He's searching for the excellent spirit, that mindset, that mental disposition to follow God fully. Each of these men that we looked at didn't just flow the way the rest of the people in their nation were going. They stayed true to God. They're the ones that controlled their hearts and their attitudes towards all that was going on around them. They're the ones that kept their heart set on God. And God promoted them and brought them through everything. They were all true patriots for God's kingdom. You know, we have a lot of things going around on us today. Our country is under attack from within. I'm trusting God to continue to lead us through it all to victory. Our faith is also under attack. But if we continue to keep our hearts and our mind stayed on the Lord, if we continue to follow him fully and remain devoted to him, he will cause his favor and his peace to be drawn to us. And I believe to our country as well. Just as he brought blessings upon this nation because of the godly men and women who were before us. Those godly patriots devoted to God and to country. You know, those willing to sacrifice their lives for our country. Isaiah 26:3 says that God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on God because he trusts in God. Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7 says this: be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you have an excellent spirit toward God, if you're firm in your decision and you don't allow the chaos of the world to distract you, if you are a true patriot of the kingdom of God and you keep your mind and your eyes and your heart stayed on him, then the shalom of heaven, the peace of God will reign in your heart and in your mind, no matter what is going on around you. Yeah, there is evil in this world. And I believe God has known about that for a long time. And I also believe that we can trust him to guide our patriots through it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the many examples of the true patriots of your kingdom that you have preserved for us in your word. Those who have faced very challenging, even life-threatening situations, who called out to you in their distress, who trusted you to lead and to guide them to victory, even when maybe they didn't always do everything right. Their actions weren't always perfect, but their spirit was. You responded to them favorably because their hearts were devoted to you. They were for you, God, and not against you. And you blessed and prospered them. Father, we thank you for the many godly patriots that have served you and our country by sacrificing all they had to secure the freedoms that we've enjoyed for many years, for the godly foundation that they helped to establish this nation on, and which has drawn your favor and blessings to us. Help us, Lord, as we seek to secure that godly foundation and to maintain those freedoms and to preserve our republic, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We cancel the plans of the enemy to try to establish a Marxist communist government here on our American soil. Father, let your peace, the peace that passes all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds and our nation in these days ahead as you lead us to victory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight? Oh, the rampart we watched was so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. A stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. took the fall, and part of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of men. Took the fall and thought of me.